Hello and welcome to KnitCast. I'm your host, Marie Urshard, and my special guest today is Claire Garland, knitting designer and also author of the book Knitted Babes, and we're here in her Cardiff home before she moves to Cornwall. But Claire, your knitted babes each have their own distinctive personalities. Could you tell us more about them?
Sure. Where do I start? The first one is probably the most English one, is Bunny, Bunny Bright. She's my favourite, actually. She's totally English. And then you've got Dee Dee Diva. The Americans call her that. She's more exotic, like an exotic princess. Then there's Rudy Ranch. She's the wild, sort of Wild West one. And then there's Flo Tilly. She's the ballet girl, ballet dancer. And Dot Pebbles. She's my first doll. She's the cute beach one, beach girl.
And how do you come up with their personalities?
Well, actually, I knit them first, then put a face on them and the hair. And as soon as that appears on them, then the personalities almost sing out, if you like. It's just their faces. I think their eyes, the way their eyes are, and certainly their hairstyles.
They have got quite a distinctive appearance as well.
Yes, I suppose it's once that face says a certain distinctive character, then I sort of design their clothes around that character, which actually creates the whole look then.
There's also quite a variance of skin tones among the dolls too.
Yes, there is. I'm very aware of ethnic feel to each doll, which I think is quite important, because obviously we're all different skin colours, and that has to come out, and it can with the wools, because there are many different tones of wools, and with the hair colour, I mean, anything goes really. I mean, in my new mail order kits, is a pink haired doll, so anything goes, even skin tone, you know.
When did you knit the first knitted babe, or rather, when did the idea for these dolls come into your head?
Well, actually, my mother taught me to knit 2 years ago, and I wanted to knit something that was small and manageable for me. I couldn't imagine myself knitting a cardigan or anything like that. So I thought, I'd already made a doll out of fabric, and I thought, well, maybe try and knit one, just a basic shape, which I did, although the neck was rather long on the first one. But that was when my first doll was made, probably about 2 years ago. That's the first project, my first knit project that I did.
And that was Dot Pebbles, your first doll?
That was Dot Pebbles, that's right.
They've all got their own teeny tiny little accessories. I was surprised to see that there's even a little Fair Isle jumper for one of them. You must have had great fun thinking up of all of these tiny little accessories, little shoes and things like that for people to knit.
Yes, it is. It's lovely, especially using different types of wool, like silver lamé for some silver slippers and things. And they are so easy to knit. You can, even if you haven't got much patience, like I haven't, then you just sit down and knit one, and you've made one within half an hour or so, which is brilliant. And then there's so many different trimmings and little beads you could put on. It's just great fun. You could just have play away, really. Let the children be involved as well, picking out beads for their shoes, for the dolls and things.
As you said, you have children, you're a mum, so I'm assuming that the dolls have been thoroughly kid-tested.
Yes, they have. I've got one girl, my boys, they all like the dolls, and they certainly play with them. They swing their arms around and play with them, and they're still whole, so they do work as toys. They're not just something that you put on the shelf and have a fear to touch.
And when did the book come about? As you say, you're a fairly new knitter, but you're not a new author. You've been published before.
That's right. My Embroidered Treasures was the first book. And the knitted dolls, it was going to be a book with knitted dolls and also made dolls made out of felt. But my husband actually said, well, why don't you just do the dolls themselves with clothes? And I didn't think that would work, but indeed it certainly did work, because we managed to gather together enough imagery to fill a book, and publishers absolutely loved it, and everybody seems to love it, so it certainly works like that.
There are kits for more dolls on your Dot Pebbles website. What sort of different characters are available?
We've got an artist with pink hair, which is, she's rather fun, follows a girl after my own heart, although I don't have pink hair. There's a black lady who's very, very sort of countrified and very elegant. There's my French Fifi. She's very chic, very, again, elegant. There's also a sort of hip-hop girl, Bebop, and she's got green hair. And there's also an angel, because I designed the kits around Christmas time, so I thought it'd be nice to have an angel in.
What's in the kits all together? I assume all of the knitting materials, but also trimmings as well.
Yes, you get all the trimmings, and some of them are clothes that are made out of fabric. So you get the fabrics, all the needles, bamboo knitting needles and sewing needles and threads and felt, everything you need really to make the dolls. You don't have to go out and buy anything.
Alongside the launch of the book, there's also a Knitted Babes Knit Along, which is basically a weblog where people can contribute their own pictures of their own creations of babes. Are you excited about the possible variations of the Knitted Babes that we might see? Perhaps there'll be a doll that originally had dark hair who'll end up with green hair or purple hair or something.
I think it's absolutely wonderful. I'd love the idea of people being creative and, you know, actually going for it. I mean, there's so many people who are so afraid to actually express themselves. And I think if they can come up with something that's just totally unique, because each doll, even if it's a doll from my kits, will be unique to the maker because of the way they sew the eyes on a thing. So it'd be just wonderful to see all these different creations that people come up with, almost like a piece of artwork for themselves, which is fantastic, I think.
You are also a tapestry designer, and you've written about embroidery. When did you first become interested in embroidery? Was it when you were quite young?
I've always liked sewing, although the embroidery actually came about from the tapestries that I used to design. A lady called Jill Goring, she was the owner of Primavera. I came up with some designs and she said they'd work better as a piece of embroidery rather than a design for tapestry. So I went out and bought a couple of books. She lent me a couple of books and sort of had a go and absolutely loved it, much more than tapestry, because it's just much more fine. And that's where it came from.
Now, you're also a tapestry designer. When did you first become interested in tapestry?
A lady, Jill Goring, came up to me when I was at Cardiff Art College, and she was very interested in my work, and she said, you know, why don't you come along to the studio and see if you can have a look at what we do and maybe come up with a few designs, which I did, which she took on board, and they became kits. From then on, I did my own designs, did some designs for her, which start off on paper as flat designs, then somebody else takes them on board and translates them onto tapestry. In fact, one of the days I came in with some designs and she loved them, but she said they'd be better off as embroidery designs. So she got me into embroidery, which is great, by just lending me a couple of books, and I went out and bought a book myself. Just had to go embroidery and loved it. And sort of that's where my embroidery book came from.
Now, you're originally from England, but at the moment you're living in Cardiff, the capital city of Wales. What drew you to Cardiff?
I actually got a place at the Art College in Cardiff. Before that, I was in Leamington College and just got a place for the higher national diploma, where I studied textiles, photography, graphics and TV and film, which was quite interesting. But my love was for the textile side, and not embroidery at that stage or any sort of yarn work at all, mainly for printed textiles. I think I found my own sort of eventually by just working for myself at home, just trying out a few bits and pieces, and got into actually creating textures and textiles onto a piece of fabric. And that's where the knitting and the embroidery comes about.
You are a relatively new knitter. You've been knitting for 2 years, and your mother taught you. Did you ask her how to knit, or was it just something that happened? Were you looking to learn to knit?
Yes, I was. I go out there for a week in the summer holidays, say, with my parents, with the children, and I just wanted to knit, because I'd seen all these lovely books around, and I thought I would love to actually understand the pattern, because to me, at the time, it seemed complete gobbledygook, all these N2, P, whatever. I knew that she could knit, and I thought perhaps she could teach me, because I knitted as a child years and years ago. I think we all did at school. And so I thought maybe the memories would come flooding back, which indeed they did. It's something you don't actually forget, like riding a bike, you know, that cliche. But yeah, she taught me over that week that we were there, and I picked it up from there. For anybody out there who remembers, maybe they might have knitted in their past, they could easily pick it up again. It's very, very easy, the basics anyway.
And from deciphering the knowledge of patterns, because yes, they can be a completely different language, how did you find it then when you were designing these dolls? How did you find it then, translating those dolls into knitting patterns? That must have been quite difficult, was it?
Not really, because I knitted a baby bootie at the time. That's what my mum's teaching me to knit, because it's so, I had to look at the pattern to begin with, and I don't know, it just clicked into place what all these abbreviations actually meant. So putting them down on paper just came naturally.
We've been obviously talking about the knitted babes. Are there more knitted babes now planned for the future, or are you seeing how this one book does?
I have actually in the pipeline got a book called Dream Yarns, and it's got babes, sort of fantasy babes, like there's a mermaid and there's a princess and there's a few boy ones as well, like sailor and a pirate. I know that they're waiting to see how the book sells before this one actually comes about, which I'd love it to come out, because I think it would be a beautiful book. There's a horse in there as well for the princess.
Oh, wow.
So there are horses too. Horse babes.
And some of your knitted babes are having a little tour of America at the moment and of yarn stores. I've seen on the Knitted Babes websites pictures of them. There's a picture with a previous interviewee of me, Stephanie Pearl McPhee, the yarn harlot, with some of the babes.
Yes, I wish it was me, really. I wish I could be a babe and travel with them. I think it's amazing that they've been taken on board like this. So I'm going to New York myself at the end of September, so it'll be interesting to catch the vibes there, you know.
Yes, you're going to be at the New York Knit-In, amongst other things, I believe. You must be looking forward to that.
Totally, totally looking forward. I've never, ever been to New York, so it'll be wonderful, absolutely wonderful. Bit trepidation, but I've never flown on my own either, but I'm looking forward to it.
Oh, well, you will have to check out the Garment District and all of the fabulous New York yarn stores. Oh, you're going to have a great time. And all of the bead shops and things. I'm sure there'll be lots of accessories there for future knitted babes. What's your own view of the creative scene in Cardiff? Is Cardiff a very creative city for designers and artists like yourself?
I know that there are small groups of artists and workshops in Cardiff. I myself, ashamedly, have never actually belonged to one. I don't know about the knitting scene, to be perfectly honest with you, in Cardiff. I feel living up here in Thornhill, we're a bit sort of out of touch. It's very much a modern sort of district of Cardiff, and people don't actually delve into their own traditional sort of methods. I know knitting is modern, but they seem to be a bit beyond that up here. I don't mean that cruelly. I hope it didn't sound cruel, did it?
We'll have to get you down to a Cardiff Stitch and Bitch before you move to Cornwall, I think.
I don't know what knitting is up here, actually.
Are you looking forward to checking out New York yarn stores?
Definitely. I find, actually, in Cardiff, there's very little. In fact, probably not at all now. One of the big stores has actually closed down, which I think is awful. I get all my yarn online, which isn't very good, because you need to be there and feel the quality and see the colours before you buy. But that's where I get all my yarn, which is a bit sad, really.
Well, you won't know yourself when you're in New York then.
Claire Garland, who'll soon be leaving the yarn desert of Cardiff behind for a trip to the delights of the Big Apple. She'll be at the New York Knit Out and Crochet event on October the 2nd in New York's Union Square. Links to the Knitted Babes website can be found on the Knitcast blog at www.knitcast.com. Claire Garland's book is published by Interweave Press, and they're auctioning off some of the handmade items featured in their magazines and books to benefit the Hurricane Katrina disaster relief effort. The auction ends on September the 26th, and you can find out more by going to www.interweave.com. That link will also be on the Knitcast blog. If you enjoy listening to Knitcast, then remember that you can vote for us over at podcastalley.com. Every vote placed counts towards our position in the podcast top 50. I'm Maria Shard, and that was Knitcast. Thanks for listening.